it was, we had the privilege of being with Arek and Asha in Jadowo, Poland, this past summer, working with them and their family. So good to see their family on the screen there today. When we were there, now you look at that video, I received that video earlier this week, and Asha's holding their new baby. And that baby is 10 days old. So that's a new baby. And we were really excited when we were there this summer that Arek was, he just, you know, couldn't contain his excitement because they were told that they were going to be having a baby boy. And so they had two girls, and he said he had a name picked out, and his son's going to go and, you know, conquer the world. And he was so excited. And then I got an email from them early September that said they went to the doctor and had some more tests run. And the doctor said, I think we've made a mistake. Looks like you're going to be having a girl. And so Anastasia is now in their family. And of course, Arek is just as excited as he was going to be with the boy. And their family, it just continues to grow. And so we're just really, 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 really excited for them. They, as you could tell, they were trying very hard to make sure they said the right English words. They were really thinking through their English. Asha speaks English better than Arek does. But I hope you caught that, you know, even they indulge in some non-traditional Christian Christmas activities like watching Home Alone. So, you know, they watch Home Alone there in Poland just like we do here. But the neat thing about their church, this is a new church. That church is 4 years old. Arek started that church 4 years ago. They're doing very, very well. He's the lead pastor there. Polish Christian Ministries has linked Fairmount with two churches in Poland. And every month when we send our monthly support to Polish Christian Ministries, it goes to those two churches. The one in Lublin, which we've been associated with for many years, with Mark and Zosia in Lublin, and now Jadowo with Arek and Asha. And we've gone and worked with both of those churches. This past summer, as I said, we were in Jadowo. Arek has invited us to come back. This summer, we'll be going back in late July to spend some time with them serving together in Jadowo. I want to take a moment as we go. So we're talking missions a little bit, and this kind of ties in a little bit with missions, but I want to just talk a moment about our annual Christmas campaign. I have the privilege of kind of sharing some of that news with you today. Our annual Christmas campaign, we do every Christmas to raise funds to pay the mortgage on this building. This is our new worship center, and it's hard to believe that it's been 8 years, December 2016, we moved into this worship center. So it's not new, but it's still new to us. And so our Christmas campaign goes to pay down the mortgage on that. And we have set a God-sized goal once again, as we have in years past. This year, the goal is $350,000. And so that is a goal that we are praying that God will provide through you, provide to meet this goal. One of the great things that I love about this campaign is that a tithe of 10% is given to missions each year from this. And so this year, our tithe is going to be going to New Zealand. And we have two partners in New Zealand working together now. But Michael and Roz Trusty are at the current church in New Zealand. And that's a new church that's only about 4 years old. No, it's longer than that. Maybe it's lower than that, but 4 or 5 years old. And they're doing a great work there. That church is doing really, really well. They're getting ready to install their first elders in February of this year. I believe Rick's going to be there for that installation of elders. So that'll be really exciting for them. But they just received some new workers. Diego and Claudia Silva, our friends Diego and Claudia from Brazil, have just moved to New Zealand to work with the trustees. They left Brazil on November 26th and arrived there, had Thanksgiving with them in New Zealand, and they're going to work with the international population there in the trustees town. There is a large international contingent there, and especially large Brazilian population there. And so Diego and Claudia are going to really be able to help reach out to those people as they expand their outreach of their church. And so we're going to take that tithe and we're going to split it between the Silvas and the trustees. So I would ask that you just pray that this campaign would be successful. Pray for the trustees, pray for the Silvas. If you are If you are interested in giving to this campaign, I know a letter has gone out some this week, but there are Christmas offering envelopes out at the Welcome Center. You could use the green envelopes in your seat back there, or there's instructions in your bulletin on how to give online. And we would, you know, if you have any questions, just feel free to talk to any of us, to me, Rick, one of our elders, any of us would be happy to give you more information about that. But again, this is a great time of year. The campaign runs through the second week in January. And so again, we're praying for a successful campaign. Now, I don't know how this happens at your house, but at our house, as the kids grow, we start to turn over different responsibilities to the kids. So, you know, maybe it's vacuuming the house or hey, you're in charge of dishes or whatever it may be. Well, a couple years ago, I decided that it was time to turn over the responsibility of decorating the outside of our house for Christmas, of hanging lights up for Christmas, to our son Caleb. And he's an electrician, so he likes lights. You know, he loves lights, and he's not afraid to be on a ladder. He likes being on ladders, and he can do all that. And so I said, you know, I think it's time. It's time for him to do that. He does a great job. He makes our house look very festive. Now, he was here at 9 o'clock service, and I kind of pointed him out, felt like he was getting puffed up a little bit. Oh yeah, I do a great job. And then I dropped the hammer and said, but he hasn't decorated this year yet. So he hasn't hung the lights this year yet. So now this past week it's been cold. So I'll give him a little bit of, cut him some slack. But today it's going to be 60 degrees. So if you see Caleb, just, kind of give him a little bit of nudge. Say, hey, it's a little warm today. Be a great day to hang some lights on the house. Just kind of get, kind of help him, spur him a little bit. But no, he does a great job. And I don't have to do it. So that's even better. So, but I appreciate what he does. Speaking of Caleb and lights, it kind of made me think of a story that I read this week, an uplifting story, inspiring story that had to do with a single strand of Christmas lights. A lady named Kim was at home, lives in Baltimore area. She was at home watching a movie with her daughter. She received a text from her neighbor across the street, Matt, and the text just said, "Look outside." So she went and she looked outside and she saw that one string of white Christmas lights had been hung stretching from Matt's house across the street over to her house. And then as she opened her front door, she saw a tin of homemade cookies that were on her doorstep. Matt said about this, he said, "I was reaching out to Kim to literally brighten her world." He said, from talking with her, he knew that she was facing a dark time. She was dealing with a lot of depression, some anxiety. She had just lost a loved one, had a lot of issues at work. So she was just really down. Really, and he just decided that a little bit of brightness was in order to kind of lift her spirits. But Matt, Kim, neither of them could have suspected as to what that would lead to. This one little strand of lights sparked a whole neighborhood-wide movement of hanging lights, where neighbor after neighbor stretched Christmas lights from their house across the street to their neighbor's house, up and down their street. Kim said that little by little, the whole neighborhood started doing it. She said the lights were a physical sign of connection and love. And Matt he marveled at what was taking place. He said, "What blows my mind is that it just happened. There's no planning. There's no communication. It just grew out of everybody's desire for beauty and joy and connection." And as you would imagine, this impromptu effort had the most profound impact on Kim, who it was originally intended for in the first place. And this is what Kim said about it when it was all said and done. She said, "It made me look up, literally and figuratively, above all the things that were dragging me down. It was light pushing back the darkness." It was light pushing back the darkness. Christmas is a time of celebrating the birth of Christ, as God has sent his Son into this world to push back the darkness. Jesus is the light that pushes back the darkness. Jesus says about himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And at the beginning of John's gospel, John writes this about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 4, and then verse 9. He says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Notice that John tells us that Jesus gives light to every man, every person. Jesus is the light to the nations. He's the light to the nations. He's the light of the world. He's the light to every person. And I hope as you're watching these videos like we had today of Ark and Asha in Poland and watching last week was Ninos, as you're watching these videos of our impact partners around the world, I hope you're enjoying them. We'll be showing a different video each week during this Christmas sermon series from a different part of the world. I reached out to all of our partners, impact partners, probably 6 weeks ago. We did a little follow-up, but about 6 weeks ago, I first reached out to them and asked them to do this, because we wanted to hear from them and wanted to hear how they celebrate Christmas in their country. And I've received back pretty much from all of them. I think there may be one that I haven't received back from, but I've received a video from all of our partners, and it's been so good to see those. And it just reinforces that Jesus is indeed the light to the nations, not just our nation, but to the nations, to every nation. And each nation, each culture, they all have their way, a different way of celebrating Christmas, of celebrating Jesus as the light that has come into this world. This morning, I want us to go back. We're going to go back to Scripture. We're going to go back to our theme Scripture for this series. And we're going to be reading Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at that first Christmas. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Here's what Luke writes. He says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" A distinctive feature of the first Christmas account is joy. There's the joy of the angel of the Lord as he speaks to the shepherds. There's the joy of the heavenly host praising God and worshiping him for the child that has been born. And of course, the message itself from the angel is filled with joy. The word joy is actually part of the message. It's a joyful message. The coming of Jesus is good news that brings great joy for the world. Good news, great joy for the world. So this morning, I want us to look at a little bit deeper, a little bit further as to why this news creates this type of joy. Why does this good news create great joy? And the first thing we see is that the announcement of the news brings joy. Just the fact that there is an announcement. The announcement of the news brings joy. Time is really all about perspective. As when you're younger, when you're a kid, it just seems like time goes so slow. It just drags on and on and on. And as you get older, it seems like time accelerates and goes faster, and things go faster and faster. I mean, wasn't 4th of July yesterday? I mean, it's just everything just goes faster and faster as you get older. In the whole of human history, a time period of 400 years doesn't seem like that long of a period of time. When you look at, you know, all thousands of years of human history, and it doesn't seem like it's that long. But if I were to say, you know, let's look back about 400 years from now, well, that does feel like it's been a long time. 400 years seems like a long time ago. 400 years is 20 generations. 20 generations is 400 years. Here we are just outside of Richmond, Virginia, just down the road a few miles. 400 years ago, a little over 400 years ago, English settlers landed at Jamestown. And as I said earlier, all fourth grade teachers groaned as they think of Virginia studies, you know, teaching students about Jamestown. But a little over 400 years ago, English settlers landed at Jamestown. The history of the United States of America and the New World is just a little bit over 400 years old. So think of all that's happened in 400 years. 400 years. It had been 400 years since the last words of the Old Testament were written and the first words of the New Testament were written. 400 years. Bible scholars call this 400-year period between the Old and New Testament the 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence from God, where prophets weren't speaking, scripture wasn't being written, 400 years of silence. And this silence, it creates questions. Why? You know, why is there this silence? Is God angry? Was God angry? Was it a form of punishment? After so many years of hearing from God through the prophets, how long is this silence going to last? Is God ever going to speak to us again? What's going on? And there's lots of theories about this 400 years of silence of why it occurred. And I don't know. I don't know why God was silent for so long. But I do know this about God. When God speaks, he has something to say. And we better listen to what he says. And so when God speaks, we need to pay attention. So let's go back to the very last part of the Old Testament. The last two verses of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. There we read, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." So we read that in Malachi. 400 years go by. We get to Luke. We're here in Luke's gospel account, and it begins with the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, fulfilling this prophecy from Malachi of Elijah, the one who was going to come, the one who's going to prepare the way for the Lord to turn the hearts of the people back to God. It fulfills this prophecy of Malachi. And then we get to Luke, the end of Luke 1 and into Luke 2, where Luke launches into the most spectacular birth announcement in history, the announcement of the birth of Christ, the announcement of the birth of God's Son. And so the fact that the silence had been broken, that God had an announcement, the announcement was cause for joy. The fact that God spoke to announce the coming of his Son into the world, that was cause for even greater joy. God had remembered his people. The silence had been broken. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had received this message from God via the angel Gabriel. She expresses the joy that comes from hearing God's message in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." The announcement, hearing from God, it created this joy. 25 Christmases ago, long time ago now, 25 Christmases ago, Holly and I lived in Kansas. I was on staff at a church in Hutchinson, Kansas, and we flew home to Virginia for Christmas that year to spend Christmas with my family. Every year, my grandparents on Christmas Eve, that evening, they would have a large gathering of family and friends over, and it was a drop-in thing, and people would be coming in and out all evening, and it would go till 11, midnight, you know, it could even go up 1 o'clock some years, 1 o'clock in the morning some years. And so Holly and I, we went to church at my home church, went to church for Christmas Eve service, and then went over to my grandparents' house. And that year I had a special gift to give my grandparents, and it was a picture frame that would hold a baby's picture in it. And I gave that to my grandma, and she opened it up, and I can still see the look of joy on her face as the realization hit her that it was a birth announcement, that she was going to be having her first great grandchild. The announcement caused great joy. The coming of Jesus, it's good news that brings great joy to the world, and the announcement itself is cause for joy. Second, we see the significance of the news brings joy. The significance of the news brings joy. Some news has more significance than other news. If you read the newspaper this morning and you looked at the story on the front page of the paper, carries a little more weight, a little more significance than the story on A6 or A7. If you watch the nightly news, the lead story is more significant than the story that airs the last 30 seconds before the broadcast ends. We see here that the content of the news that the angel brings to the shepherds is significant. It's astounding, really, when you think about it. The angel says that this child is going to be three things. It describes this child, describes Jesus by three titles. He is Savior, He is Christ, and He is Lord. He is Savior, He is Christ, and He is Lord. This baby is the Savior. He's the one who alone can rescue mankind from sin and death. This baby is the Christ. He's the anointed one, the chosen one, the one that the people have been waiting for generations, the one sent by God the Father to carry out that salvation. And this baby is the Lord. This child is the King. He is the ruler over all creation. He's Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. Significant, significant news. And Luke isn't the only gospel account of the birth of Christ. Matthew has his account as well. And when we read Matthew's account, we have a few more details that add to the significance of this news. We go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Matthew writes, "But after he," and the he here is Joseph, "but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'" The angel of the Lord tells Joseph that the child's name will be Jesus. Jesus, the name Jesus, means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh saves. And Yahweh, you may remember, Yahweh is the Hebrew name for God. That's what Jews called God. That was the name they called, was Yahweh. So this name, the name of Jesus, it tells us his role as Savior. Yahweh saves. But the angel also says that he will be called Emmanuel. He'll have another name. Jesus is God with us. God has put on flesh and bones, taken the nature of a human. He has become one of us. He is with us. And this goes even beyond the earthly presence of Jesus. For those 30 years, this conveys that God is with us, He is for us, He loves us, and He wants all mankind to be saved. In Luke 2, in our main text, the angel tells the shepherds that this is good news. This is good news. The word gospel, and when I say gospel, the gospel is the message that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came, that He lived a sinless life, that He gave that life sacrificially on the cross, died, was buried, and raised again to new life. He died for our sins. And He defeated death and defeated the grave, so that if we believe in Him, we can have our sins forgiven, and we too can conquer the grave and live for eternity in heaven with Him. That's the message of salvation. The good news is, the gospel is the message of salvation. And so Luke, the angels tells the shepherds, this is good news. The gospel is good news. That's what that word means. Gospel means good news. And the significance of the good news of the gospel, is that God has come to save us. He's come. He's arrived. He's here. And He's going to save us. And He did. And He's coming again to take us with Him. Preacher Tim Keller says it well about the gospel. He says this. He says, "The gospel is not that Jesus Christ comes to earth, tells us how to live, we live a good life, and then God owes us a blessing." He says, no. He said, "The gospel is that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived the life we should have lived, and died the death we should have died. So when we believe in Him, we are accepted, and we live a life of grateful joy for Him." We live a life of grateful joy for Him. The coming of Jesus, it's good news that brings great joy for the world. The significance of the news brings joy. Lastly, we see that the global impact of the news brings joy. The global impact of the news brings joy. I was curious this week and decided to do a quick Google search on the five greatest inventions of all time. What are the five greatest inventions? And so here's what Google says. This is their list. The wheel, the printing press, the compass, the light bulb, and vaccinations. That's what they say are the five greatest inventions in human history. And I'm thinking, as you know, time goes on a little bit, the internet's probably going to get up there pretty rapidly. But those were the five: wheel, printing press, compass, light bulb, vaccinations. These inventions, they're considered the greatest because they've had the most positive effect on the most people around the world. Life would not be the same if these things were never invented. Could you imagine a world without the wheel? You can't even imagine it. Could you imagine where we'd be without the light bulb? And the light bulb, it hasn't even been that many years since electricity and the light bulb were created. But could you imagine a world without the light bulb? Life would not be the same. Almost everyone in the world has benefited from these inventions. To me, the best part of the news of a Savior being born is the news that it's for everyone. It's for everyone. Everyone has the potential to benefit from this news. Everyone can be saved. Jesus came to save the world, not just to save one person, not just to save one tribe or village somewhere or a people group or one country. Jesus came to save us all. No one is excluded. No one. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus about the inclusiveness of salvation through Jesus in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. He says this mystery, he calls the gospel, the good news, it's a mystery that God has done this. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. What Paul's saying here, this is an incredible thing God has done. The promise of salvation through Christ, it's for everyone. Jew and Gentile alike, it's for everyone. This news is for everyone. Peter writes of God's desire for all mankind to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God wants everyone to be saved. That's why he sent his son, to save the world. The gospel message is a global message. And this was God's plan all along. This was God's plan all along. Jesus was sent to give his life for every person around the world. Every single person. The coming of Jesus is good news that brings great joy for the world, the entire world. The global impact of this news brings joy. And so my encouragement for you today is this: share the light of Christmas with joy. Share the light of Christmas with joy. Be joyful. Be joyful. Peter reminds us of this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "Though you have not seen him," we have never seen Jesus with our own eyes. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now," we're not seeing Jesus with our own eyes currently, "you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." Knowing Christ, hearing the good news of the gospel, accepting that, it creates joy, a glorious and inexpressible joy. You can't even describe it. Joy is contagious. There is no reason for Christians not to be joyful people. We have the best news possible. Christ has come, and he's come to save us from our sins. We've been forgiven. We will conquer death, and we're going to live forever with God in heaven. There's no greater news than that. So let's let our joy be contagious and influence those around us. Yeah, I came across a quote that I really like that talks about our joy and the contagiousness of it from a guy named William Treadwell. And this is what he writes. He says, if we can convince people that we are onto something that's full of joy, they'll stampede one another to follow us. That's the influence of joy. That's the influence of good news. People want it. They crave it. And God provides it. We have it. Let's share it. Let's share it with joy. Let your joy shine like a bright light that pushes away the darkness. Bill and his team are going to lead us in another song. And this is a time of decision, a time of invitation for you to come. I'm going to be down here if you need to come and talk to me about the good news and accepting that news that Jesus is the Son of God that has come and gave his life to save you from your sins. And you want to talk about being baptized into Christ. I'd love to talk to you this morning. I'd love to help you understand that news better and what it means for your life. So if you please stand with me as we sing.